Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, happy summer, everybody, I think. We certainly live in a special time, a unique time, a time that none of us have been prepared for. Every year I always enjoy reading an essay by Bob Greene about summer. For obvious reasons, wasn't able to read it a little earlier in the season, but nonetheless, here we are. Let me share it with you now. It's entitled, Summer Shines as Ever, It's We Who Have Changed. Keep an eye on summer. That bit of lyric from the middle of an old song I have otherwise long forgotten reinsinuates itself into the atmosphere this time every year. It might as well be playing on every corner, although it's really not there. It might as well be emblazoned against the clouds like skywriting coming in soft white plumes from a sputtering biplane, although there are no words in the afternoon air. Memorial Day has come and gone, as has June, and now almost July, but August is still on its way. Keep an eye on summer, yet we seldom do. Summer is life's greatest gift to us, or at least it ought to be. It's no coincidence that there have been more songs written about summer than about all the other seasons combined. Summertime, wonderful summer, all summer long, a summer song. Summer means fun. Whatever your generation, the songwriters and singers of your era were drawn to summer seemingly as if they couldn't help themselves. Summer is everything. At least it once was when we were young. Then, when summer and life were new, summer represented freedom and friendship and an escape from the grayness of the rest of the year. Summer was not just a season. Summer was a reward, even when we hadn't done a thing to earn it. Summer was the time to breathe, to feel like someone else, to discover things about you that could never be discovered in November or February. Summer was the time when you were allowed to figure out who you were. As we grow older, we allow summer to lose that. Summer doesn't change, but we do. The long days and warm nights that we used to cherish and linger over somehow become rushed and diminished because we don't pay proper attention. We have jobs now and responsibilities and deadlines to meet. There are times during the summer when, if someone were to ask what month it is, we would have to hesitate for a second before figuring out whether it is June or July or August. Summer is a blur, or so we have permitted it to become. The one time of the year that should never be blurred. The one time of the year that should be clear and crisp and distinct. Every summer day is often anything but. It's not summer's fault. It's ours. One of the wisest people I have known once said that the best things in life should be thought of as pebbles in a jar. The assumption should be that the pebbles are finite. Even if you can't count them by looking into the jar, you should assume that one day they will run out. You should withdraw them with care, one by one, never doing it by rote or distractedly. If you withdraw them too rapidly, you're being greedy and will hasten the day when they are gone. If you hoard them, if you are miserly in keeping them in the jar, then you will rob yourself of the experiences the good things should give you. There's no perfect way to do it. The closest you can come to perfection is to know just how precious those pebbles are and to value each one. So it is with summers. Here is one true thing. You have one less summer remaining in your life than you did a year ago today. This is the time after June, almost after July, but before August. A year from now, you'll have one less summer remaining than you do now. That can worry you or thrill you. Choose to let it thrill. Summer is still with us now. Why are we given summers? Well, probably for the reason that we are given all of life's good things, to remind us that of what the rest of life does not feel like, to show us by contrast what we are missing during all those hours when things are not so fine. If all of life were summer, if all of our experiences were wonderful experiences, then the world would have no texture, no context. Summer, the possibility of summer, summer as we first knew it, is what it is precisely because we are aware its duration is not limitless. It would not taste the way it does if we thought it would last forever. We love it, or at least we once loved it, because we know, even as it is beginning and we are experiencing it, that it will soon enough be gone. That is why the last evening of summer is one of the most melancholy times of the year. The air is cooler on that September night. The shadows grow longer. There is a sadness on that night that is hard to shake. Not now, though. That's for later. It's the days just at the end of July, just before August, and into September. The pebbles are still filling summer's jar. Yours to withdraw at your own pace. Keep an eye on summer. Savor every day. Savor every summer night. Savor every day. Savor every summer night. Keep an eye on summer.
Trees swaying in the summer breeze, showing off their silver leaves as we walked by. Soft kisses on a summer's day, laughing all our cares away, just you and I. Sweet, sleepy warmth of summer nights, gazing at the distant lights in the starry sky. They say that all good things must end someday. To say goodbye to you, wish you didn't have to go. No, 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 no. And when the rain beats against my window pane, I'll think of summer days again and dream of you. Say that all good things must end someday. Autumn leaves must fall. But don't you know that it hurts me so to say goodbye to you? Wish you didn't have to go. No, 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 no. When the rain beats against my window pane, I'll think of summer days again and dream of you, and dream of you.
Chad and Jeremy, a summer song, always a good way to start a summer show. And don't forget, summer shines as ever. It's we who have changed. Let's all of us keep an eye on summer. I promised Elizabeth Newkirch from Silverman to read a public service announcement for the Chicago Park District. Of course, used to work for the Chicago Park District's lifeguard and working as a supervisor in the parks. The nonprofit Chicago Parks Foundation is leading a new citywide volunteer initiative to help keep the city's 600-plus parks clean. Pitch In for the Parks invites community groups, corporate teams, and individual volunteers to participate in this season-long effort. Park budgets have been stretched thin this year, and there are fewer seasonal employees. In partnership with the Chicago Park District and communities across the city, the Chicago Parks Foundation is providing trash pickup supplies, volunteer coordination, and safety guidelines to support the park's ongoing maintenance throughout the summer. Volunteers can learn more and get involved online at chicagoparksfoundation.org/pitchin. Safety guidelines are aligned with the Chicago Park District's response to COVID-19 and the latest City of Chicago information. In just the past few weeks, more than 1,000 people have volunteered their time to pitch in for the parks, and nearly 60 park advisory councils, local businesses, and community organizations have stepped up to adopt a park. Pitching It for the Parks shifts the stewardship opportunity back to the community so they can build a stronger sense of pride and ownership of their parks by helping to keep them clean, while modeling giving back to others, said Willa Iglitson-Lang, Executive Director of the Chicago Parks Foundation. When you invest in a park, you are investing in the communities who love and use them. And for that, we say thank you. So again, for information, the chicagoparksfoundation.org/pitchin. And we thank Elizabeth Newkirk from Silverman for making us aware of this. Of course, all the parks that I used to spend time at, Armour Square Park and Kennedy Park and Monroe Park and Bogan Park and Kelly, oh boy, all of them. Boy, there's a lot of them. Lakeshore Park, a lot of them. And I'm sure, as have a lot of people in Chicago. So it's one of the great treasures and the joys we have as being citizens of this great city. So if you can, help out. The 34th Annual Scottish Festival and Highland Games, hosted virtually for the first time. Travel to Scotland virtually for an extravaganza of Scottish culture, featuring highlights of all the most treasured parts of a Scottish festival and Highland Games, including past heavy athletics participants and performances from Highland dancers, to a celebrity chef demonstrating how to make shortbread, all benefiting the Chicago Scots, the oldest and first nonprofit in Illinois, celebrating its 175th year. The Chicago Scots invite everyone to be Scottish at the 34th Annual Scottish Festival and Highland Games, a free family event on Saturday, August 1st at 2 o'clock. Held virtually for the first time since its inception, the virtual Scottish Festival and Highland Games will keep its 34-year tradition alive and thriving while keeping the safety of all patrons and participants of the utmost importance during this time. Free to join in, all guests are invited to watch via Facebook Live while also being encouraged to make a monetary donation before and or during the event. All proceeds benefit the Chicago Scots, one of the world's largest Scottish cultural organizations and the oldest 501c3 charity in Illinois, and their principal charity, Caledonia Senior Living and Memory Care in North Riverside. We are excited to host the festival and games in a way that keeps everyone safe and the tradition alive, despite our current circumstances, said Gus Noble, president of the Chicago Scots. The festival has become an important annual family tradition for thousands of people, so we are thrilled to provide a safe and virtual alternative this year, and we are also excited to see so many people that aren't typically able to travel to the games sign up to join us virtually this year. As always, we welcome everyone who is Scottish by birth, Scottish by heritage, or simply Scottish by inclination. On the line with us right now, instead of being in the studio with us right now, is the businessman, entrepreneur, noble Scotsman, direct descendant of the original Scottish patriot and braveheart William Wallace, member of the esteemed St. Andrew Society, dedicated to serving the Scottish community, preserving the Scottish heritage, and advancing the Scottish culture. And the president and CEO of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, now presenting the 34th Annual Scottish Festival and Highland Games, hosted virtually for the first time on Saturday, August 1st at 2 o'clock, our good pal, Mr. Gus Noble. Gus, my pal, how are you today?
I'm very well, Kevin. How are you? It's great to speak to you.
Always good to speak to you. And it's become a tradition every time, well, a little earlier usually in the year, we talk. But here we are on the phone, and here you are doing something that's never been done before and probably will never be done better than by you and the Scottish Society. But what a great idea and what a great way to consider it a tradition, Gus.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much, Kevin. You know, the only thing that would keep me from being in the studio is a global pandemic. the Chicago Scots really come together at this Highland Games and celebrate Scottish identity, all of the customs and traditions that we've come to love and Chicago has come to love. But this global pandemic meant that we couldn't do it safely this year.
Sure, sure, sure.
So we decided to move it to cyberspace. So no longer are we going to be in Itasca, but we'll be out there in Itasca in cyberspace.
There you go. Well, that'll be fun, and certainly, how did you come up with the idea? Did you have a little committee, or did you come? Were you one night and having a little cocktail? I thought, wait a second, here's a way of doing this.
Well, a lot of the events that organizations are doing now have moved to a digital format.
And sure.
We thought it's a shame that we are unable to host the event physically and be in the same place together. But what's to say that we come together virtually and have piping and dancing and, you know, literally physically distant heavy athletics and so on. So we've asked people to send in videos of them explaining what it is that their particular area of the festival is and does and why it, mm-hmm. what the history of it is, giving a performance or a demonstration or some type of educational representation. And we've been we've got this huge array of different video clips that we're going to put together in a montage of pre-recorded content, some live content. I'm going to be like the Jerry Lewis of this thing and be here at Caledonia Senior Living and welcome everyone and kind of talk them through what's about to happen.
Well, what are some of the topics you're going to be touching upon?
Well, this afternoon I'm going to be talking about bagpiping and recording some content from with Jim Sim, who's head of the Midwest Pipe Band Association. Mm-hmm. And he has helped grow our festival into the largest bagpiping championship in North America.
Really?
Last year, we had more bagpipers and drummers playing in unison than anywhere else in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask Jim about his long-standing involvement with the piping community, what's been involved in his accomplishments, how he started one of the best bands here in Chicago, and how he grew our festival into the largest in North America. So it'll be a great education. He'll talk to us about the music itself and the history of the music in Chicago. One of the bands that we'll feature who are going to send in a performance for us is the Stockyard Kilkee Pipe Band, who are 100 years old.
Mm.
So they have a great history themselves.
Sure, sure. You know, talking about the pipes, of course, you know, we miss having Davy Johnson, who's our good pal and always joins us in the studio to play a couple renditions of songs on the pipes with Chicago Backpiping. I want to make sure I mention his phone number, 630-534-4964. Davy's a great friend and of ours and certainly of yours and great representative for the Chicago Scots and for the bagpiping community.
He is indeed, and he's a good-looking lad, too.
And he'll be the first to admit that. Well, that'll be fun, so we'll learn a little bit. And, you know, this is a little different. You know, we might not have that same opportunity had we been out in Itasca to have a kind of a short seminar on what bagpiping's all about. Here we're going to be able to find out what bagpiping's all about, how it started, what the history is in Chicago and worldwide, and that's a different spin on it.
It is. I thought, you know, if we're going to take this into a different type of format and context, we have an opportunity to present it in a different way, in a way that is relevant and compelling to the way that our viewers and our supporters and people who are going to enjoy the event in a way that they'll be engaging with us. Similarly, we'll take a similar approach to dancing.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers here in Chicago have sent us videos of them teaching people the history of the various dances and how competition works. There's going to be footage of the dancers performing some of those dances in unison and solos here at Caledonia Senior Living. And on that subject, I should just mention, if it's okay, Kevin, that we run as a principal charity, a nursing home, a 100-year-old senior living facility in North Riverside, Illinois. And like all of us, our lives were impacted, challenged, changed by COVID-19. And since March the 10th, we've been in the state of advanced lockdown here to protect the lives of the people who work here and live here, of course. And the dancers who had previously to COVID come into the community every week. We have a dance studio here in the Scottish home. They'd come in and rehearse and have lessons, and they got to know the residents in a very close and personal way. And when we locked our doors for the first time in our 103-year history, the dancers immediately picked up a pen and started a pen pal correspondence with individual residents, dancer to resident. And then one afternoon at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, about 3 weeks into the crisis, I heard a bagpiper play outside our windows, and I saw dancers performing socially distanced from one another, but performing outside resident windows. And this has happened every week since the crisis began. The dancers come 4 o'clock on a Tuesday and will dance for the residents. And it has become a symbolic routine, a tradition that really represents the resilient spirit of this community, of the people who live and work here. And the pipes and the dances historically and traditionally represent a joie de vivre, a determination of spirit, and they literally represent exactly that in 2020 at Caledonia Senior Living. Hearing the pipes echo and resonate around the campus gives everyone a lift. And so we'll celebrate both the history and tradition of bagpiping, dancing, but we'll also talk about how important it is around our campus today.
Boy, God bless him for doing that. Gus, that was such a great idea, and they're doing it on a regular basis to keep those people who are compromised because of health still part of the community. And that's what the Scottish, the family of Scots are all about. That it's a community, and the community, you know, is not limited to people who have Scottish descent, but as you say, it's for all people, any kind of race, any kind of religion, any kind of ethnic background, everyone is welcome. And that's certainly a visceral example of what your mission is.
It is, Kevin. You know, that's an important thing to recognize. We're all challenged. Our lives have been challenged and changed by COVID. And one of the resonant things about this community, this year we celebrate 175 years. We've been around since 1845. Chicago was just a small frontier town of 12,000 people when we were first established. Mm-hmm. And we were set forth with a mission. And that mission has remained with us to this day. Our motto represented the mission. It was relieve the distressed. And in the days of COVID-19, certainly we believe that our mission is to relieve the distress of those most at risk. And those are our seniors. We'll do anything and everything to protect the lives, the health and safety of the people who live and work in the community. But while we're talking about relieve the distress, we should also recognize that there are lives at risk because of systemic racism. And this is an organization, yes, our mission is to nourish Scottish identity, but we also recognize that in today's world, black lives are at risk, and we must do all we can to dignify black lives, because black lives matter.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And some of the other stuff you're going to have, of course, the dancers, you have the bagpipers. We have now. What about you're going to be part of the shortbread baking contest?
I will be part of the shortbread consumption contest. Actually, one of the things that Gary McLean, who is the national chef of Scotland, become a good friend of the Chicago Scots. What he's going to do for us is give a demonstration about cooking macaroons. They're one of the great confectionaries. He shared with us his recipe for shortbread, and it's now become a very popular item in the Scottish home kitchen here. Matter of fact, I have a couple of pieces sitting on my desk right now.
I wish I was sitting next to you then.
it's great. And Gary's going to be beamed in from Glasgow.
Oh, really? Oh, boy.
Yeah. We'll have performances by a local fiddler here. Mm-hmm. And also, we're very proud that Rachel Bart Pine, who has some Scottish heritage and has become a great friend of the Chicago Scots, she and her daughter Sylvia will perform and will feature a great performance from Rachel. Rachel's actually recorded with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra on a couple of her own records, and one of them was called the Scottish Fantasy, which featured the Brook Fantasy for violin and orchestra. Mm. And Rachel's, of course, one of the best musicians in the world. To have her at our event is a great honour for the community. And on the more country music side of music, a good friend of mine, John Ballantyne, who is also from Scotland and with whom I play in a honky-tonk band,
mm-hmm.
John is going to perform a song that he's written about journeys and migration from Scotland to the United States. It's mm-hmm. called The Tale of William and Mary,
mm-hmm.
and I've played it with him a few times, and let me tell you, it's one of the best songs I've ever heard. It's a song of journey, of adventure, of triumph and tragedy. It's got everything in there to a great tune by a great Scotsman.
Well, we'll look forward to that, of course. And of course, something very interesting also, as I'm reading the press release on this from our good friends over at Noreen Heron's office, the history of the Highland Games in America, how they relate to what you've done here for 34 years in the Chicagoland area, and beyond that, of course, as you started when the city of Chicago was just an infant, but how the Scottish American history has evolved in the United States, the genealogy of Robert the Bruce, his connection with Queen Elizabeth, and how this community of Scots has formed and grown over the many centuries here.
It's a community which has deep and important roots, but it's a community that evolves. We set ourselves a map of the road forward, and yes, we are respectful and we're grateful for what we inherit from tradition and our ancestors, but like the thinkers of the Scottish Enlightenment, Alan Adam Smith and David Hume, were unafraid to question in a critical way whether those systems and ways and philosophies are right for tomorrow. So there's a constant sense of evolution and growth within this community that I'm so very proud of.
Well, this is a great idea, Gus, that you've come up with and your staff has come up with, and all the Scotsmen and Scotswomen of Chicago have, and continuing this tradition that we're going to miss the Scottish Festival and Highland Games, of course, being outside in Itasca, but we're continuing it, in, as you say, in spirit and in cyberspace, and it will be as big and as great as ever, and God willing, we'll be able to pick this up again again next year in 2021, and it'll be a joy to all gather together and celebrate what we all endured and went through here because of this crisis.
Bigger and better, Kevin. Yeah. We're going to blow those pipes next year and have a great time. You know, we are, as we said before, the oldest charity in Illinois, and we've been through two world wars. We've been through the Great Chicago Fire, the Great Depression, and yes, the Spanish flu of 100 years ago. And I say to people that we've prevailed because we've always delivered life's most important things. Those are home, family, and love. And if we continue to do those things, we will defeat COVID-19. I'm not just talking about Caledonia Senior Living or the Chicago Scots. I'm talking about the world at large. If we focus on the things that dignify human beings, home, family, and love, we will defeat COVID-19. And next year we'll get together and have one massive party.
In 1845, immigrant Scots gathered in a burgeoning village of 12,000 residents called Chicago. They formed Illinois' first and still oldest charity, the Illinois St. Andrew Society. Now known as the Chicago Scots, the organization's mission is to nourish a Scottish identity through service, fellowship, and celebration of Scottish culture. Around the world, there are many societies that celebrate Scotland's culture, but there is only one that has developed an elder care community as a defined charitable purpose. For more than 100 years, the Chicago Scots have served seniors and their families at Caledonia Senior Living, a five-acre campus nestled in the Forest Preserve just west of downtown Chicago. The Chicago Scots also reach out to the next generation by providing scholarships to students in Scotland and the United States. The Chicago Scots host events like the Scottish Festival and Highland Games to educate, entertain, and promote Scottish culture. The Chicago Scots organize initiatives like the Scottish History Forum, Scottish Genealogy Society, and the world's only Scottish American Museum and Hall of Fame to tell the stories of Scottish journeys to and experiences in North America. The Chicago Scots welcome everyone who is Scottish by birth, by heritage, or simply by inclination. And on the line with us right now is the CEO of the Chicago Scottish Group in Chicago, St. Andrew Society, our good and dear friend, Gus Noble. Gus, maybe a phone number or website if people would like to get some information about the St. Andrew Society?
Sure, chicagoscots.org or caledoniaseniorliving.org, 708-447-5092.
Now, let's make sure we got this right. On Saturday, August 1st at 2 o'clock, people can tune in to Facebook Live or Eventbrite?
Facebook Live. You'll go to our Facebook page and you'll see a link there. But if you want to register, you can register on our website. It will take you through Eventbrite, and there you'll be given a reminder when the event is about to start with a link.
Terrific. And now, how long will the program last?
To be determined.
Oh, good, good. It's open-ended. It is.
I'm hoping we can get this down to somewhere between an hour and 90 minutes.
Good.
With the pre-recorded content and live. You know me, Kevin, once I start talking, it's hard to shut me up.
Well, we know that, Gus. But God bless you for that, because we always enjoy what you're saying. That's the important thing. And certainly we'll enjoy what's going on Saturday, August 1st. Gus, God bless you for what you're doing to everyone at the St. Andrew Society, you and your beautiful family. I know you have a new one that's a young one, certainly going to be celebrating here for the first time. And certainly our best to Davy Johnson and everyone at the Illinois St. Andrew Society.
Thank you. God bless you, Kevin. Please stay safe and be well, everyone.
I miss you being here. Next year you will be.
Absolutely. You got it.
Thank you, my pal. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Gus Noble, the CEO of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, now presenting the 34th Annual Scottish Festival and Highland Games, hosted virtually for the first time on Saturday, August 1st at 2 o'clock. And it should be just a wonderful time as we continue the legacy of the Scottish Festival and Highland Games. And we miss having Gus and Dave in our studio, but certainly we'll look forward to next year. And I'm glad we were able to talk and continue that tradition we've always had. Let's continue with the music of Chad and Jeremy, one of my favorite songs for summer, Distant Shores, and we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Sweet, soft summer nights, dancing shadows. starry lights. You came for me to follow, and we kissed on distant shores. Long quiet hours of play, sounds of tomorrow from yesterday. Love came for me to follow, and we kissed on distant shores. The careful glance of children playing, raindrops fall as if they're saying, quiet thoughts of you, caressed by time. The breeze of summer's gone, whispered memories as nights grow long. Follow, and we kissed on distant shores.
Chad and Jeremy, Distant Shores, and we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Revolution Workshop is a social enterprise that provides construction and woodworking workforce development for unemployed or underemployed people in partnership with area businesses. Revolution Workshop delivers financial independence and careers through skills, hope, and resilience. Revolution Workshop was created from witnessing lives transformed through handcrafted woodwork. With the ongoing dire labor shortage in the skilled trades, we decided to build a best-in-class construction training program fused with a custom furniture social enterprise. Our goal is simple: help solve an ongoing labor demand issue for skilled trades employers while transforming lives at the same time. Revolution Workshop is providing a model that Chicago has never seen, fusing a comprehensive carpentry and design workforce development model with a social enterprise. The trainees build skills, hope, and resilience, as well as beautiful furniture with a unique story. Handcrafted and hand-signed, each piece is built to your specifications by our trainees. Lives are rebuilt and transformed in the process. And on the line with us right now is Manny Rodriguez, the executive director of Revolution Workshop. Some of Manny's resume speaks exemplary for himself. Vice President of Economic Development for the Alliance for Illinois Manufacturing. Founding member of the Chicago Metro Metals Manufacturing Consortium. Education and Safety Director for the Associated Builders and Contractors of Illinois. Illinois State Workforce Innovation Board member. Manny also has a passion for education and is the co-founder of the University of Illinois Latina Latino Alumni Association, an organization dedicated to providing scholarships for Latino students and mentorship opportunities for Latino alums of the University of Illinois. In fact, Manny holds his BS in Business Administration with a minor in Latina Latino Studies from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. It's an honor to welcome to the Kevin Moore Show Mr. Manny Rodriguez, Executive Director of Revolution Workshop. Manny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for that introduction.
Great to have you. You know, as I'm going through, you know, I have to thank Jackie Gallo, your Director of Marketing, for introducing us. Of course, we were introduced because of the work we're doing over at our company's doing over at Rush. a hospital in the new renovation they're doing over there, in the new addition they're putting on over there. And as I'm getting more information that Jackie has sent over, quite interesting about what you're doing over there, and enticing, because I'm going to have to stop over because I might have your people make some stuff for me. And your ideas and your competency and opportunities are limitless.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely interested in helping you with any product needs that you have, for sure. I think our model is unique in that we really look at a demand-driven approach. You know, obviously there's a need in the sector. We have an aging workforce. We have no voc ed in the schools anymore. And that has led to a skills gap shortage, a very significant skills gap shortage in the construction sector. And obviously we know that there are challenges in our communities in Chicago, especially on the west and south sides, especially in black and brown communities. And so what we're trying to do is really address two different needs. Those folks that are in underserved communities that need economic mobility and need a career pathway that has family-sustaining wages. And then you have, you know, our construction sector and our contractors and our partners that need workers to do the various projects. You mentioned Rush, but there's, you know, there's over $100 billion worth of proposed projects in the Chicago area in the next 10 years. And we, as of right now, today, do not have the workforce to meet that need.
Well, I think you're providing that in your trainees, and I'm looking at some of the people that you do business with: Scott Simpson, Design Build Contractors, McHugh Construction, Power Construction, FH Passion, Focus Development, Orrin Pickle. You know, interesting about Orrin Pickle, because not that we've done business with them, but they are a company that specializes in a high-end carpentry work. And I'm looking at some of the things that your trainees do, and that's high-end stuff, Manny.
Definitely. I mean, I always tell our employer partners that you're going to get a really competent entry-level employee when they walk out of here. I'm proud of the technical parts of the training. We give them a lot of exposure. We run a 10-week pre-apprenticeship construction training program. Mm-hmm. And a part of that, we also give them the woodworking experience. So they're actually making furniture, high-end furniture pieces, dining room tables, benches, you know, bookshelves, et cetera. And those are going into places of business, other community-based organizations, people's homes. And so, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, one, we're providing a quality program product. And we want to make sure that our trainees can be able to do that product. So they're involved in every step of the fabrication process. And we actually bring them out to install the product on site, whether that's an organization or an individual's home. And really that comes to another core principle of ours, that we want to blend affluence and poverty. A lot of our folks that order tables from us are folks that are well off, and they really want to do something to help the violence problem, to help the generational poverty problem that we have in some of our communities, and they just don't know how. Mm-hmm. And I think Revolution Workshop, I think why we're having such success is that that message is we're saying, hey, here's the how. You know, buy a nice, beautiful piece of furniture, and in exchange, that all the profit and all the proceeds from that is going right into changing someone's life. And I think that really resonates with a lot of folks. And even during this time of COVID, we have really seen our social enterprise side of the fence take off. Much to my surprise, I'm pleasantly surprised. You know, I just assumed that everything would kind of shut down, people would buck it down. But that hasn't actually been the case for us, and it's kind of a really great opportunity that we just can't miss.
Well, you're changing two lives, Manny, you're changing the life of that craftsman or craftswoman who puts together that piece of furniture or whatever that person is making, but you're changing the lives of the recipient of that piece of furniture, because not only is he getting something tangible that he can enjoy and use for years and years, he can say, I made that difference in that person who built this life, and it's affected all of us. Isn't that the way this is all supposed to work, that we are all part of each other's lives and we move from one person to another and this is all encompassing? You know, there's an old saying, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Winston Churchill say that. You're exemplary of that. You know, what you're doing is, of course, you're starting a business here. You had a business and you're making that. But all the people whose lives you've touched, that makes a great, great big difference.
Yeah, we seem to think so. And again, this is why we picked the field that we picked. You know, I think that, you know, it's more than just providing somebody with a job. It's really, we have to prepare them and provide a career. And a lot of the skills trades, a lot of blue collar jobs, for a long time, you were just taught that the only way that you can make it in this society is that you had to go to college, you know, take on all this debt, and that was the only way you could make $100,000 a year. Well, that's a fallacy. You know, and that's just not the reality. The middle class in this country was built on the backs of manufacturing and construction jobs.
Sure, sure.
And in our way, we're promoting that again. We're saying, hey, these are not dirty jobs. These are not, you know, anybody can do them either. I mean, it requires a quite a bit of a skill set. You have to be a critical thinker. You have to be decent at math. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you have to be a problem solver. Those are skill sets that, you know, lend themselves to other sectors as well. And I don't think that when people think construction or manufacturing, they think right away, oh, that those are the skill sets that come to mind. But those are the skill sets that are needed to be successful in this field.
And when do you draw your trainees from, Manny?
No, that's a great question. So we're located on the west side.
Right.
We're in Garfield Park on the lake in Homan. We're right across the street from Garfield Park. We draw probably about 60% of our folks from the west side, the other 40% coming from the south side. We're right off the green line, so that allows us to serve both communities pretty easily and effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our motto is not everybody. We don't accept everybody that walks into our door.
Mm-hmm.
There is an interview process. We interview everybody. We give a one-hour informational session about what are the opportunities in construction and, you know, our model, our philosophy. And if people are interested after that one-hour informational session, we guarantee them an interview. So you know, we usually have, prior to COVID, we would have class sizes anywhere between 20 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to 20 or 25, we would interview 100.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, again, I don't really, this is going to sound cavalier, but I don't really care what you did before you got here. I want to know what's different now. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's motivating you now in your life to change your life. We don't shy away from barriers. We serve a significant of folks. Percentage that have been in the justice system. We serve folks that are homeless. We serve people in recovery. And so we're not shying away from barriers, but I can't want it more than you want it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you got to be serious that this is the field that you want to get into and that you're going to be motivated to be challenged. And that's not always comfortable, right? Somebody's challenging you, asking you to rethink things, change behaviors that have been successful in your life. And what we're saying to you now is, yeah, that thing that you were doing for this many years isn't going to work in this career pathway. And that takes a lot of trust, and that takes a lot, again, a lot on that individual to really look in the mirror and say, am I ready to really challenge myself to, you know, make these necessary changes to be successful in this pathway? And so in order to do that, we actually recruit very heavily from community-based organizations located throughout the city of Chicago.
That's good.
We have a really great relationship with Heartland Alliance and their READY program. This program is specifically charged with going out into the five different communities across the city of Chicago, some of our most underserved communities, and they're going in and they're talking to folks and trying to convince them that there's another way. So they're going right up to the person that may be selling drugs on the corner, and they're saying, hey, we have another way. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to take them out of that life. And we need then work with them as they get them to some form of stability when they're ready for the next step, you know, no pun intended. Sure. Then we actually take them and put them in our program and then train them on the technical skills, life skills. We do a lot of life skills training. And then we get them ready for employment. We're kind of that broker between that community-based organization that's, again, stabilizing those folks when they're at rock bottom. And they're getting them semi-stable and ready for a position that they could even think about going to work. And so then that's when we grab them. And what's beautiful about that is that then if there's any issues that arise with that individual, and again, because we're dealing with folks that have, you know, a lot of barriers and issues that poverty presents itself, you know, we want to make sure that we're providing as much and leveraging as much resources as we can to help that individual. And having another community-based partner be a part of that journey just ensures the success of that individual, not only in our program, but then beyond. And really, that's really, at the end of the day, what we want to do. We want to make sure that folks stick in the sector. I mean, I think anybody can place anybody into a job. But it means nothing that if in a week later they get fired.
Well, a key
so
to avoid...
We want to make sure that they're sticking.
Right.
And in order to do that, you really have to look at the person holistically. You can't just think, okay, it's enough to teach them safety and how to use tools and how to measure and cut. Yeah, that's a big part of it. But really, you got to teach them how to work. You got to teach them why when your foreman tells you 6 o'clock in the morning, what they really mean is you got to be there at 5:30, you know, and that's the kind of things that we're teaching them, the culture of construction, which can be a little rough. I mean, let's be honest. I worked in the field as an electrician for 7 years, and it was a family friend of mine, and he talked to me all kinds of ways that wouldn't be acceptable in most work environments, but we have to prepare them for that reality.
And allow me to break in for a second here, Manny.
A
key to a vital life is possessing an eagerness to learn and a willingness to change. You are providing an opportunity to find out if that person has those attributes and be able to move forward from what they had been doing before, regardless of what they've been doing before, to see some kind of avenue that they can, you know, better themselves and help others in the process and change their lives in the process. I think that's a wonderful thing. I was unfortunate because of the pandemic that we were all confronted with, that I was going to be coming over to your facility to meet some of the students and so forth and say a few words. And I would have loved to have been to do that. I still hope to do that. I still hope to get over there to see everyone, to meet you personally and Jackie and talk about what you're doing and make sure we continue to get the word out about what you're doing. So let's keep this a work in progress here and want to continue the conversation that we're having. If people would like to get some information about Revolution Workshop or to maybe come over and place an order to see what you can provide for them, how would you go about doing that, Manny?
So I would thank you for that. First and foremost, I would want to bring everybody to our website, which is www.revolutionworkshop.org. If you're interested in a particular product, I would email us at info@revolutionworkshop.org. And again, on the website itself, there is a form where you can actually, a product interest form that you can fill out, and that will also go to that email. But if you just want to email and say, hey, I would love a dining room table, I'd love a headboard, whatever, you can just email that email address directly, info@revolutionworkshop.org.
Terrific. Well, I look forward to seeing. I hope the invitation's still there. I would still love to come out and see.
Definitely still there for you, Kevin.
and meet you. And I thank Jackie for putting us together. And like I said before, this is a work in progress here. So we will make sure we continue to get the work out. And anybody I can and talk with, and certainly the group of people, Pepper Construction, of course, is another that does work with you and provides opportunities. We'll keep that dialogue going. And one more time, so we can get, if people would like to contact you.
Yes, www.revolutionworkshop.org, or you can email us at info@revolutionworkshop.org.
Manny, God bless you for what you're doing. Continued success, and let's keep on each other's radar.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you today.
Take care, Manny.
Take care.
Manny Rodriguez, the executive director of Revolution Workshop. Wonder opportunity for young people, trainees who are learning woodworking, learning how to build of items that we all use every day in and out, and certainly located in the West Side and the Garfield Park area. And it was it's nice that we were able to chat with Manny and get a little insight into what he does and what his group of people do. I thank Jackie Gella for that, and we will continue this conversation and make sure we get the word out about the wonderful things that that Manny and his team are doing. Let me share this little essay from Jack Spadafore entitled "Savor the Last Full Month of Summer." August is mystical. For many, it's too hot. For some, too wet. For others, too long. And yet, the way I feel is that August is the great divide between what has been and what is about yet to come. The succulent days of green spring and red summer are slipping through our fingers. Beckoning just up ahead are the crunchy days of orange autumn and white winter. But before we start tucking away the bathing suits and taking out the school books, God gives us this lyrical pause. Now, a great many consider it the appropriate time to hurry off on some before it's too late trip, to pack, to travel, to explore. The record shows that most young families and psychiatrists take August vacations. On the other hand, the reputed dog days of summer might actually represent the best time to remain right where you are. Why? Because something extraordinary is taking place right where we are. Dawns sneak up on us like whispers splash across a palette of purples and ambers. Noon suns burn at their hottest and highest. Squadrons of sparrows and starlings whoosh overhead. Platoons of tiny children giggle across lawns or insist on just one more lemonade stand. Young mothers exchange news on park and beach benches. On-the-move executives slip off jackets to finger mustardy hot dogs before rushing back to close another deal. And fruits are at their fattest. A million cicadas sing their August choruses. A billion stars white fire the night sky. The entire drama plays out all around us right here, whenever we take the time to look. So know, August is not simply to be endured or escaped. It is to be savored and held as close as a catechism. Jack Spadafora, savor the last full month of summer. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guests, our good friend Gus Noble, the president and CEO of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, now presenting the 34th Annual Scottish Festival and Highland Games, hosted virtually for the first time on Saturday, August 1st at 2 o'clock. And Manny Rodriguez, the chief CEO and executive director of the Revolution Workshop, 3410 West Lake Street in Chicago in Garfield Park. For information, revolutionworkshop.org. Finally, a famous writer once said, "One ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words." I hope on our show today we have at the very least done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, "And in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make." Or, as a famous person just said, promise me you'll always remember. You're braver than you believe and stronger than you seem and smarter than you think. And who that famous person was? Christopher Robin to Winnie the Pooh. Have a great day.
It's time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever.